Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
13% of holiday-related injuries are from gift wrapping or opening gifts. How is that even possible, right?
Seems ridiculous to me. I don't know what you're wrapping with, but if it's paper cuts, I don't even think that counts as a real injury.
They say that 30% of Americans have been injured during the holidays. And it's funny because I think back on it and I'm like, yeah, I've gotten hurt before. But my injuries were like always related to cooking. I burned my hand, like third degree burns on my hand one time because I was rushing. It was Christmas Day, so I had a glass of wine or two or three. And and I went to go take the pan out of the oven, right? Except I didn't put like an oven mitt on.
Yeah, you just figure you could grab it.
Like, right, just with my hands.
You're cool. You got it like that.
And then I refused to drop it because it was like our food, you know,
right,
and
right.
We needed to eat. So I like both hands grabbed it and put it on the counter really quick and like tossed it down.
And everybody's like, yeah. What are you doing? What are you doing? And you're like, move,
right.
Move. Like they're the jerks.
Oh, thank gosh I was fueled by a few glasses of wine because like the pain was so bad. Like, at least it was somewhat dull. And then as soon as they left, Paul's like, get in the car. We're going to the emergency room. I had to call my mom to come back and watch the kids. 10% says they've been hurt by cooking during the holidays. That's okay. Me. 11% have slipped or tripped outdoors. Oh, I know somebody that's done that.
I feel like the weather is terrible in a lot of places anyways. It's extremes that you're not necessarily used to. So I could see that happening.
And the number one way people injure themselves during the holidays, which again is shocking, is by hurting themselves or cutting themselves while wrapping or opening presents.
You know what? I think that you're in the attic, you're in the crawl space of your basement or whatever it may be more often than not. So you could bang your head on some stuff. You know, banged my head at least 3 times when I was in the attic the other day, pulling down decorations and stuff like that. But I fell off my ladder last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're putting up the Christmas lights, most people, when they get a little rickety up on top, up there in the air, they'll stop and say, well, I'm not going to do that anymore in the future. But my wife demands that I put the lights up and they have to go on the second floor of the house. So until I buy like a single story ranch, this is my life.
Mm-hmm.
And every year I take it in my hands. And last year I ended up in one of my bushes.
Yep. You're not alone. 4% of people have fallen from a ladder. And actually, my best friend's husband, Charlie, he also fell from a ladder putting up the Christmas lights. I think it was 2 years ago. Mm. It actually ruined our holiday because we were supposed to be traveling with them. He broke both his wrists, which was terrible. So none of us could go anywhere. We had to cancel the trip. It was awful.
So mad at him for ruining Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
Terrible.
There sure are a lot of kids on the naughty list this year. Let's check Anna and Raven's Santa tip line.
The Santa tip line is 833-431-0905. Again, that's 833-431-0905. You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let Santa know who's been naughty and who's been nice. Let's check those messages, Raven.
Message received yesterday.
Hi, Santa. This is Christopher. I just wanted to tell you that I miss you so much and I can't wait for you to come.
Aw, and this is his aunt, and he knows that he wrote a list and he's going to send it to you in the mail. Anything else? He's so nervous because he knows he's talking to Santa. Anything else? That's it? Okay, his name is Christopher. I-L. Thank you, Santa, and have a wonderful night.
Nice of them to give us the address and everything.
That was so cute. And you know, I miss you so much, Santa.
Yep.
I wish you would come every day.
It's a good
not
angle.
Just once a year. I mean, it's true.
It's a good angle.
I wish Santa would come every single day, too, and bring me presents.
Now, if you tell somebody that you miss them and so forth, you put the emotional sign on it. What does Santa say? Santa just says, oh, he's such a good boy.
Oh,
he doesn't really
boy.
Even pay attention.
Right.
He doesn't look at the other stuff. You know what I mean? He just says, that kid misses me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I miss that kid. I'm going to deliver for that kid, too.
Hey, Santa. I want a Ferrari.
I would also like a Ferrari.
Me too. If we're taking orders for Ferraris,
yeah.
I'll take one as well. What color is yours, Raven?
Gosh, I mean, red would be great.
Yeah.
But blue would be great, too. Blue's my favorite color.
Yeah.
But, you know, here's the thing. If it shows up, it's like pizza. I'm not going to kick it out of anywhere.
No.
You know, right. It's just any color it wants to show up, it's fine. I knew a guy who had a salmon-colored Lamborghini.
Really?
I hate the color salmon.
Oh, isn't salmon like pink?
It's like coral.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's like that. It's like that weird color. And I was like, that matches nothing except like an ice cream cone.
Maybe it was on sale. That's why he got it that color.
You know, I used to think that about regular cars.
Yeah.
I don't think Ferraris ever go on sale.
Who knows?
There's no coupon.
No.
My name is Delaney, and I want to be on the nice list, and I want a new bike for Christmas that says my name.
What?
Bye.
That would be cool.
That's so cool.
I hope you get that bike, Delaney. Yeah. I'm sure you've been a very good boy.
Yeah, I like anything that's personalized. It just makes it so much cooler. I'm going to put my name on everything.
On your Ferrari.
Yes. All right, listen, you want to call the Santa tip line too? Go for it. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 833-431-0905.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? You want to get it off your chest? Here's your chance. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Ford.
If you creepily follow people in the parking lot just to get their parking spot, that is all I need to know about you.
That's how you know it's the holidays. You start seeing a whole lot of that.
I got to tell you, I was coming out of a store the other day, and we had like a full, I mean, it was Costco, so it's no mystery. Big box store, right? You've got 1,000 items in there, three of which you need, and the rest of this stuff, you got to figure out how you're going to sandwich in your car. So we come out of the store, and I go up to the back of the car, I pop the back, and I start unloading, and there is a car right behind me, and this dude is anxious, and there are like three cars. Now it's piling up behind him, and it's taken us some time to get all this stuff in there. There's a bunch of stuff. It's probably been 3 minutes. I'm on the last or second to last item, and all of a sudden, this guy speeds away. You waited all this time.
Mm.
I mean, I felt your eyes upon me, and then you speed away. What are you doing?
Maybe he saw a better spot.
No, he didn't. I watched where they parked.
No?
They parked further down.
He just got tired of waiting.
That's right. I mean, I was on the second to last item. It was so crazy. Then, of course, when I go to come out, oh, everybody's got to walk behind the car when you're trying to back out.
Yeah, no, I don't know what's worse. It's like, when you're waiting for a spot, you have your blinker on, and you see the person just sitting in the driver's seat on their phone.
Oh, yeah.
Because you really can't say anything, because right now they own that spot.
They own that spot.
But and there's, you can't really rush them. But part of me is like, are you serious? Are you on Instagram right now?
Give me that spot.
Knowing that I'm sitting here? Like, right. Get out of the spot.
Hey, Ted, that's all I need to know about you.
If you force your family to go caroling with you, that's all I need to know about you.
Who's doing that?
I'm 25 years old. I have my mother. She's basically every year has been like, let's go. We're going out. We're doing the neighborhood.
That's nice, though. It means a lot to your mom.
Someday you're just going to long for those simple days when you would go caroling with your mother.
Nope.
Wow. Wow.
Can we talk about carolers for a quick second? I always feel awkward.
Mm.
They come and it's so great. And like, you're like, oh my God. You know, it's like you're so surprised and you open the door and you stand there.
Right.
But how long are you obligated to stand there and watch them sing? Like, they came and they were young. They were probably teenagers. They were probably from like the high school band or something.
Okay.
But they performed three songs.
Oh my gosh. That's a concert.
Well, at that point, I was like, I'm cold, and I like want to go back inside, and nobody, like, at this point, my daughter, my teenager, already had left. She was back in her room doing whatever they do in their room, and it's just me standing there, and I'm like, all right. And then I'm like, do I just close the door and they move on, or is it like one of those things where they're waiting for me to close the door and then they move on?
Who feels more awkward here? Okay, so I mean, I know there's like the carol leader, right, who really is excited about the situation. But here we go. Example this. You're the son that's been dragged along or whatever, and now you know that this poor person wants to go back in their house, but they feel hostage to you as the group caroling at them, and yet you feel hostage to them. It is a strange situation.
And then I didn't know if I should offer them some candy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, like, do I tip them?
Yes. Right. Something like that. Right.
No. I almost wish they had, like, a bucket and they were collecting for some kind of charity. They would have been like, all right, guys, great, great. That's all I need. Here's $5.
The whole process seems weird, because the first thing is I don't want to open the door. Like, I open it up, there's the glass door. But then I'm thinking after 20 seconds, you let my heat out. Mm. So now, do I close the door, put my coat on, come back out? You're in the middle of a song. Did you assume that I was just walking away completely now?
Yeah, Kyle, I get it. I get why maybe you don't want to go caroling anymore.
Just do me a favor. Don't knock on my door.
Can we be honest for a second? It's always awkward when you see a panhandler because you're not really sure what to do and you feel sad and you're a good person and you want to help, but you don't know if you should help. It's all the emotions at once and you don't know how to handle it.
Do you find yourself in a conundrum sometimes where, you know, based on how you've been behaving over the last day or two, whether or not you want to help somebody out? Like if you're having a day where you're, you know, lashing out at people or whatever and you see the panhandler and you're like, you know what? I'm going to make up for it right now.
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Because truthfully, I don't. Because I'm just scared. I don't know why. It doesn't even make sense.
You're scared of what?
I don't know. I'm scared of, like, what happens if I roll down my window and they reach in and I've got my kids in the car? Like, I think all kinds of crazy things all the time. But if I'm by myself, a lot of times I will offer. And I've noticed lately, the more creative the sign is, the more I'm apt to give if I have it. Because truthfully, my biggest problem is, I don't have a lot of money in my purse because I pay everything on my credit cards and my debit card, right?
I mean, not for nothing, man. I mean, it's great to be charitable. It's great to want to help people out. On the other hand, like, you know, the whole world is more expensive.
Right.
Like, I mean, everybody has their struggles all the time, every day, right? So, you know, reaching into your pocket is just not just a question of morally whether you're good or bad or anything like that. You know, there's nothing more disheartening, too, than giving money, though, or you know, trying to help somebody out and then figuring out that they're lying. Or they're scamming you or whatever. And that is a very common thing.
Producer John, producer Sean are here. We were talking about this off the air because it's always like the what do you do? So yesterday I was walking out of a grocery store and there was a panhandler there. And he had the biggest smile on his face. And he had a giant sign. And it was a Venmo. It was a Venmo QR code on there. And he said, please don't say you don't have cash with the Venmo link. And I was like, now that's smart.
Yeah,
it's clever.
So out of curiosity, I pull out my phone, and sure enough, it links right to it. And I was like, "All right, like here we go. Here's $3."
Was the QR code like printed out,
yes,
or did he marker the? Okay, because I had an image in my head of him markering the QR code.
Can you marker a QR code?
I don't know if that works. That was going to be my question.
Would take some serious concentration.
It would take some skill.
Yeah,
like, producer John. So, if you saw somebody that spent a lot of time with the marker on their sign, what's your typical protocol when you see a panhandler?
It's funny because I've softened with age. Like now, I will usually give if I walk by somebody. But like when I was a little kid, I grew up in New York City in the late '80s, early '90s, like pre Giuliani. New York, and it was the homeless situation was bad. It was so
out of control.
Bad. I mean, my dad had me stepping over people. I do not say that to be funny. Like it was dark.
I remember.
Then.
No, it was bad.
And
my
dad had me like stepping over guys. Like, you know, like, buddy, come on, you got to keep going. Now, I don't know. It's different now, especially if the kid's in the car. I want to be like, all right, dude, you know, this is a thing we should do. So I give. So I'm the opposite of you.
You know what that is?
If my kid is in the car, I'm more likely to set a nice example. Yeah. My goodness.
No, I'm just scared. Well, I'm scared of everything.
It's because you're older, though.
Yeah. I get that, though. I get that.
But you've struggled. That's the difference, too, is you're older now. Now you have more empathy because you know what it is to be in a situation when you have nothing.
Producer Sean, what do you do?
Man, it's going to make me sound like a terrible person, but I'm the opposite of John. I think with age, I've gotten like an hour.
Harder.
Yeah. I've had too many experiences where I've given money as a younger gentleman.
Sure.
And it's just I see them an hour later coming from somewhere I didn't want them to spend that money. So unfortunately, I kind of do group a lot of them and go, oh, no, you're not going to spend this money. I will, however, say, though, if they have an animal with them, I don't know if you guys have ever seen any animals with an animal.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
Then I will go to a pet store and buy the dog food. Because then I'll feel bad.
Well, that's
a
good move.
Poor dog.
You're making sure somebody's actually eating there.
Yeah. What do you do when you see a panhandler? 1-800-330-9999. Saw a panhandler with a sign yesterday that had a Venmo link on it and says, please don't say you don't have any cash. And it made me laugh because it was creative and I definitely gave it. But it's always a little bit uncomfortable when you see a panhandler and it's always difficult trying to decide what you're going to do.
Well, a lot of times the first question is, do I believe them, right? Do I believe that they're actually in this strife, they're in this situation, and it's not a choice, right? This is not a career path because nowadays you see that, you know, there's plenty of people that are out there running a scam. The Venmo, I think, is it's convenient anyways, right? And that person doesn't have to carry a pile of cash. Makes more sense for them.
1-800-330-9999. Megan, what do you do?
So if someone is in front of like a store or like a fast food restaurant, usually I'll ask them what they want and then I'll get it for them.
That's nice.
Yeah, I've done that before. I think that's great. Have you ever tried to give somebody like leftovers or carry out and then they don't want it?
Yes, that's happened a couple times.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand because it's my half-eaten food and then I feel guilty about doing it. I don't know. I understand their side too. Like, you don't know who ate this. You don't know what this is.
One time, I'm in the city leaving Carmine's and I offered this dude the food and he's like, is there calamari in there? I was like, no.
He wanted calamari. He knew what he liked.
No, but he was outside. Unbelievable.
Tristan, how do you handle panhandlers?
You know, I feel like you have to come with some sort of creative effort to give you money. Like if there's a guy who's making jokes or has a funny sign that, you know, why lie? I need some weed. Or, you know, hey, your mom's hot. Give me a dollar. Like that always makes me kind of like chuckle. And I'm like, all right, at least there's a little effort here.
If the sign is really creative or really touching, I feel like I'm more obligated to pay attention.
So which is the one that gets you?
Depends on my mood. If it's really creative and funny, you know, as a comedian, like you have to give them some props for that. But also if it's really touched, I felt like this woman with the two kids, she has two daughters, she needs support. I just like looked at her and I was like, what if that was me? What was that with me with my girls?
Sure.
And you know, I gave everything I had in my wallet.
I saw a guy in Vegas that looked like, I mean, not for nothing. He looked like he had been out there for a very long time on the road, dirty and disheveled. But at one point it was a pair of slacks and a shirt. At this point, it was like, you know, kind of like shredded and beat up or whatever. And his sign said, let's be real. I came here like a normal person. I had a car, a house, and a life. Today, this is what's left of me, and all I want is a beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave him $5.
Karina, what do you do when you see a panhandler? What happened?
Well, I generally feel sorry for them because that's the type of person I am. If they're checking me out and whistling at me while they're panhandling, forget it. They're not getting anything.
That's a good rule.
They have a dog with them. I will give them food, but I will not give them money because I know what it's being used for. So that's my story.
We always say the same thing. We know what it's being used for. We actually have no idea what it's being. I mean, we have some guesses. The person with the dog does get me every time until I had somebody talk to me about that. You know what one of them told me? That's my dog. I lent it to that other person over there because you make more money when you got the dog. And I was like, what? I love the idea of the cat calling panhandler too, though. If you're simultaneously looking for a dollar and yet being aggressive and inappropriate with people walking by,
it
seems like an interesting combination, though. I mean, the construction site area would never be lonely. It'd never be boring.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three news stories. You only hear about one. Raven picks which one it is. You ready for your selection today, Raven?
What do you got?
Number one, legendary sword swallower. Hospitalized after brutal accident involving five swords.
I mean, it's hard to say, so I'll forgive you, and I hope that he's going to recover.
Sword swallower.
Yep.
Yeah. Number two, man dressed as the Grinch assaults man in reindeer costume at company Christmas party.
Come on.
And number three, bomb scare over a novelty dynamite alarm clock in home.
I'll go bomb scare. Why not?
Okay. A realtor in Indiana called in a bomb scare when they noticed what looked like an explosive in a vacant home that they were about to show. Here is the homeowner talking about what happened.
Oh, gosh.
All of this over a toy. I get a text from my cousin who's like, hey, can you get a hold of your mom or dad? Because there's a bomb squad at your house.
Yep.
Can you imagine that? You're trying to sell your house. You've already packed up enough of your stuff that, let's be honest, you need it on a daily basis. But you've packed it away in some storage unit so that they can show this place.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're kicking in the windows and doors of your house and sending in a robot to see whether or not it's going to blow up the block.
There was a novelty toy in the house, a clock that looked like dynamite.
It looks exactly like a bomb, like a TNT bomb. And it just has, like, in the back, it has, like, a little space where you can put, like, batteries and stuff in it. And it's an alarm clock.
I love that people just think that they're going to walk into a place and there's going to be like a TNT bomb. But the way she says it, man, so matter of fact, it looks like a bomb, like a working TNT bomb that's sitting on somebody's nightstand.
As a former realtor myself, I will say it is hard to show houses. And like you get into some weird situations, you see some strange things. I mean, I would think that I would hope I would know the difference between a real TNT bomb and an alarm clock.
I would like to think
plastic alarm clock. But here is a list of things that when I was a realtor for many years, the things that I saw.
Yeah.
One time I was showing a massive house. It was a $2.1 million home, right? I made the appointment, did everything I do. I had this couple with me. I went to go show the house. I do the realtor thing. Hello, sure. It's Anna Zapp. I'm coming to show the house.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I go upstairs in the bedroom, like, what's that smell? We were loud. We were having conversations as we were walking around the house.
Yeah.
The homeowner, the gentleman, was on the toilet smoking a cigarette.
Nice.
In his master bathroom.
Yeah.
Yep. I opened the door. I was like, ah!
Yeah, good to see you.
Right. I was like, guys, we got to get out. We got to get out of this
house.
You
didn't close that day, did you?
No. We didn't sell that house.
Right. Not to them, anyways.
Another house, I walked in on a man asleep in his bed, which is awkward because then you never feel more uncomfortable than when you walk in on somebody sleeping in their own bed because all of a sudden you feel like the criminal, even though you didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
One time I showed a house. I walked into the bedroom. The couple had naked photos of themselves all over the room displayed in front.
That is art, Anna Zapp. That is art.
Take it down. And then my favorite was the 70s house that the entire house was covered in green shag rugs.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was like linoleum and green shag. I was like, we're going to knock $70,000 right off the top of this offer price right here.
It's the 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show.
The 12 Tasks of Christmas. Every day, another task. We never know what it is or who it's for. So, Raven, go ahead and open the door today.
I'm sorry, I forgot the oil. I'll just warn you guys, it's a little bit creaky.
Oh, again? This advent calendar is so old.
Yeah, it's old, man.
It's going to wake people up in the middle of the night.
Vintage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me see. All right. Oh, boy. Today's task is for producer Sean. Sean, get excited.
Okay.
What?
Okay, it says, popcorn garland is a time-honored tradition. Today, you have about 90 minutes to make popcorn garland with popcorn, a needle, and thread. Old school style.
All right, let me tell you why this is unfair.
Why?
Because I'm going to want to eat the popcorn.
Oh.
Do you have a thimble at the ready?
Yes.
Somewhere close.
You know what? Thank God you asked, Raven, because I just keep a sewing kit on me at all times.
Well, yeah. Look, because it's Christmas, it's a miracle. Here we have a giant bag of popcorn. Here we go. And you have an entire kit of a needle, thread. I don't know if there's a thimble in there. You might have to check it.
You know, how large is that bag? What does it say for weight there?
Well, you're looking at 16 ounces of 16. Delicious popcorn.
How far do you guys think he's going to get?
All right, let's make bets. We'll check back in 90 minutes. How long do you think? I'm going to say 2.5 feet. 2.5 feet is my guess for how long the garland is.
What do you think there, John?
I'm telling you, this guy is only limited by how many pieces of popcorn are in that bag. You thought it was how long, Anna?
2.5 feet.
You think it's going to be 2.5 feet. I'm going with 20.
20 feet.
20 feet.
You guys don't know this guy like I know this guy. He is meticulous. Mm. He will not allow something to fall on the floor. And if it does fall on the floor, he'll pick it up and make it part of that garland.
Also eat it.
I'm just going to go by the limitations of the entire game and just say I'm not sure exactly how long it's going to be, but I believe that he, like John was implying, is only limited by the amount of popcorn that he has. Mm. I believe he finishes the bag.
In 90 minutes?
In 90 minutes, I believe he finishes the bag.
This is a giant bag of popcorn.
I don't know.
Without question, finishes the bag.
Yeah, I don't know what the length will be, but I believe he finishes that bag. I honestly think that you need a bag as large as Sean if you think that he's going to be stopped by that.
The durability of each popcorn kernel, we don't even know because it says right here light popcorn. What if the butter is cheaper and they fall apart? That seems like...
The butter?
All right. Okay. So, John, you say 20 feet. I say 2.5 feet. Mm. Raven says he'll use every kernel in that bag.
Yeah, he'll finish the bag.
Finish the bag. All right, we will check back in 90 minutes, and we'll see how long this popcorn garland is. The funny part is that Sean's not even paying attention because he's already threading the needle.
That's right.
Yeah,
he's ready.
Right.
Yeah.
He's ready. The hardest part.
Yeah. How well do you know your holiday music? It's time to play Name That Christmas Tune. So how, this is how it's going to work. We played this last week, and I lost terribly because, oddly, Raven can hear like 3 notes of a song and identify it. Mm. It's not fair.
I've been a DJ a long time, that's all.
Okay, producer John is going to play a popular holiday song.
Woo!
I am going to ring in with my bell. And Raven is going to ring in with the dog toy. Whoever can get 3 out of 5 first wins. And you can play along and see if you can identify the song faster than we can.
All right.
All right, we're going to start off with just the instrumental. And if you need it, I'll add the whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Feliz Navidad.
Ooh, look at you go.
Does that right? Was that right?
I didn't even whistle and you got it right.
Oh, my gosh. That's because my mom has a crush on him.
It's a true story.
Yeah. My mom thinks
Tell
he's
John
really
all about
handsome.
It.
Yeah.
I actually just had a beer with his son the other day.
Feliz, what's his name? Feliz,
Jose Feliciano.
Jose Feliciano.
Yeah. His son Mikey lives around here. Great bass player.
He performs at my mom's church every, like, Christmas Eve. I don't know if he's going
to
do it this year.
Listen
but
to this.
I'll never forget. Like, she was getting all dolled up. And I'm like, Ma. And she was like, well, you'll know who's going to be there.
It's a handsome man.
He's a
very handsome man.
It's a real story. I mean, it's a true thing.
Yep.
All right, all right. Well, let's keep it going without the whistle then. Let's go with number two.
These are hard.
These are harder. Oh, God, I feel like I know this one, though.
All right, the whistle.
You're going to do this again where you sing the whole song, you don't even know the name.
Let it snow.
I mean, it feels like cheating, but
no.
Yes.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
It's let it snow.
Woo!
You did that last week, too.
Look at me. I'm leading you 2-0, Raven. I wasn't sure if you were keeping count.
All right, well, let's just say that for the third one, you can't sing it for a half hour before you actually come up with the name. How about that one?
I make the rules.
All right, we're gonna jump right into the whistle with this next one.
All right,
ready?
Here we go.
It's the dreidel song. It's spin the dreidel.
Wow.
Dreidel. It's the dreidel song.
I'm going to give it to her. Yeah, I got to give it to her.
I won. I'm a genius. Yeah. I'm a musical genius.
Yeah.
I am a musical genius who wins holiday music song named that Christmas tune.
I mean, congratulations.
Okay.
You've won this round.
All right. Let's do the other two.
Let's
just
do the
for
last
fun.
Two just for the heck of it here.
You're looking so salty.
No, I mean, I have to let her have it, but she can't trumpet it for the next year.
Yes,
you know,
I
mean,
don't.
All right, you guys ready? Yeah. All right.
Christmas, baby, please come home.
There you go. Yeah, on the board.
I gave you that one because I felt bad
you
for you.
You gave me that one?
Yeah.
All right.
One more.
I don't know about the whistling.
Oh, you better watch
all the whistling this time. I don't know. We had no whistling last time.
All right, fine. Like. This last one you get with no whistle.
No
then.
Whistle.
Okay.
No whistle.
We don't know this.
You're going to get it on the turnaround.
One, I don't know what a turnaround is.
That was it. All right, Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right.
Is that your Bruce Springsteen
that's
impersonation?
That's my Bruce. Yeah, that's my boss. That's my boss.
Oh, God.
You guys like my boss?
That was great.
That was great. Well, congratulations, Anna.
Thank you. I'm the best at this.
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Peter and Sarah. Sarah, let's start with you. What's going on?
So I have a new boyfriend who's not even new anymore. We've been seeing each other for 9 months now, and I really want to introduce my son to my new boyfriend, and my ex is against it. So
Peter, you're the ex.
Mm-hmm.
He's your ex-husband.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, we're not divorced yet, but yeah, we've been broken up for quite a while, 3 years at this point. So, you know, we're just not, look, for me, we're not divorced. I'm not that comfortable with this. It seems too soon, and I don't think he'd understand it, and I'm not ready to have that conversation with him.
How old is your son?
5.
He's pretty young.
Wait, why aren't you guys divorced yet if you've been broken up for 3 years?
That's a great question, Peter.
I mean, it's complicated. There's a lot on the table. There's a lot, you know, it's not the most ideal situation. And this is a tough time to be in any sort of, you know, situation where you're breaking up with somebody, especially after, you know, lockdown and all that. So we've been sort of dragging a little bit. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Well, we have been dragging. I've been ready to go. All of my papers are signed and ready to go. So we've been broken up for 3 years. I don't really understand what the holdup is. I'm not the one who finds this complicated. And my son is so bright, and he understands what's going on, and he wants to know who his mom is hanging out with.
Huh.
I guess.
I mean, I'm curious what people would think. Like, Peter, you don't, obviously you guys don't still live together, right?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if they've been broken up for three years. In what world would you need to clarify that?
Listen, Raven, you never know. I know couples that have been divorced that live together for the kids.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not unheard of. But we can see what the audience has to say. Does Peter get a say on whether or not Sarah's allowed to introduce her new boyfriend to their five-year-old son after they've been dating for 9 months? Because, Peter, here's the thing. If people say you got to back off, you need to back off Sarah and let her do what she wants.
You know, I just, he's such a, in my opinion, fragile kid, and I just don't want to bring him into that situation.
At the very least, you have to take into account what people are saying then, right? I mean, if the votes totally don't go your way,
sure.
I mean, you have
to understand
that. I'll
listen to people's ideas. I don't think this is going to go well for me, but I'll listen.
Well, you never know, Peter, because people may agree with you. She's only been dating them 9 months. Your divorce is not finalized. It's a lot for a five-year-old to comprehend and understand all this. Waiting for a bit more is not a big deal. It's for the best of your son.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
All this week, Judge Marilyn Million from the People's Court will be giving her verdict on the Couples Court. That's coming up later on after Can't Beat Raven. But it's interesting. Peter and Sarah, they've been separated for 3 years. Peter's kind of been dragging his feet on the divorce papers for one reason or another. It's been 3 years since Peter has moved out. Sarah's been dating a new gentleman now for 9 months and would like to introduce this guy to their five-year-old son. Peter very much does not want that to happen.
You know, here's the thing, man. I mean, in the end, I'm sure Peter is heartbroken. It's been a tough situation for him. Everybody feels like a failure when your marriage falls apart. When you got kids, it complicates things even more. It's the holiday season. It's been 3 years, Peter. All right. It's time to finish this thing. The truth is, what control could he possibly have over her life at this point? And that's really what this is about. It's about keeping her under his thumb.
Well, but the thing is, Peter says, we're not divorced yet. He's only 5 years old. You've only been with this guy for 9 months. And I have a say, and I think it's too soon.
I think it's really convenient to hide behind your child there.
What do you think about this? 1-800-330-9999. Dan.
You know what? My heart goes out, but unfortunately, you know, Peter's got to let go, too. So maybe it's good for both of them.
So you're on Sarah's side, then. It's up to her whether or not she wants to introduce her boyfriend to their son.
And it might be good for Peter as well.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Peter and Sarah have been separated for 3 years. The divorce not yet finalized. Peter has every excuse in the book on why it hasn't been done yet. But he moved out 3 years ago, and now Sarah's been dating a new gentleman for 9 months and would like to introduce their five-year-old son to him. Peter is very much against that.
Yeah, he just says, I think it's too soon. I don't know. You know, we're not even divorced yet at this point. But, you know, again, Sarah says, listen, I've jumped through all the hoops. I've signed all the paperwork. I've been ready to go for a long time here now. I'm trying to stay cordial about this thing, but it's time for me to move on with my life, you know?
Yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
The husband's side. The ex-husband's side. I think that you have to protect the five-year-old, and it's not about the wife's new boyfriend.
I had a friend who his parents got divorced when he was 18 years old, and he went completely off the deep end. My parents got divorced before I could even crawl.
Mm-hmm.
It came with its host of issues, too, but every kid, every family is different. I mean, I think it's all about the conversations you're having.
Well, the problem here is that they're not on the same page. If mom says, yeah, I'm ready to do this, and dad doesn't, it's like you're 50-50 parents, so I don't know what you do in a situation like this.
They could do that, though, when their son is 25. That could still be going on, right? I mean, if dad doesn't ever want to come to the table.
Greg, whose side are you on?
You know, it's a lot more complicated than that, and I'll tell you what. The boy is 5 years old. We really don't know what he's like, but it's a delicate situation, given the fact that they're not divorced yet. I just went through a divorce, so... And I have an 11-year-old son, and I'm hesitant to introduce him to anybody I'm dating. But the fact that they've been seeing each other, Sarah has been seeing this man for 9 months, she wants to make an introduction. There shouldn't really be anything wrong with it, but again, I don't understand where the 5-year-old boy heads at.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sarah, our audience agreed with you. Peter, at this point, you're no longer a couple. You no longer have a say in things like this. Sarah is a responsible mother. If she feels that this is the right time for your son to meet somebody new, then you need to back her and back off.
Well, you know, I get it. I get why your listeners say that. I just hope she's serious about this guy is all I'm saying. Last thing I know is another guy being, you know, left out in the cold from Sarah's ways. So we'll see.
All right. Wow.
All right, everybody. Peter, what I would say is, you know, honestly, at this point, there's no reconciliation on the horizon. So whatever this thing is that's holding up the deal, just get the deal done. I mean, there's no winning here. So just come to an agreement. Go to court on the same day. Everybody magically show up with the stuff notarized and signed at the right time and be done with it. And that's over.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. I get it.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescourt@annonraven.com. And coming up after Can't Be Raven today, Judge Marilyn Million from the People's Court has been joining us all week, and she'll give her verdict on this. And I can't wait to find out legally, does Peter have a say in what Sarah does in this situation? That's coming up. What do you do when you're separated from your husband? You've been dating somebody for 9 months that you feel very passionately about, and you would like to introduce them to your five-year-old son, but your ex says absolutely not. That's exactly what's going on with Sarah and her ex. They're not divorced yet, just separated. Nobody better to answer that than Judge Marilyn Million and Judge John Schlesinger from the People's Court. Marilyn, what do you think?
Well, I think, legally speaking, the husband has absolutely no right to prevent her from introducing her son to someone that she's dating. I also think 9 months is a really long time to be dating somebody who hasn't met your five-year-old son. So I think she's gone above and beyond the call of duty to keep him out of her son's life for a really long time until she knew it was sticking, and it seems to be sticking. And unless the husband has a material reason why he doesn't like it, like, for example, the guy, you know, a sexual predator, or the guy is a pothead, or the guy has criminal past, there's got to be a reason you don't want him around. So you can't just say, nah, I don't want anybody you date around my son. I don't care whose fault the delay in the divorce is. I don't care if the divorce went swiftly. None of that matters. You have a right to introduce your child to someone who's in your life. And so that's the presumption, unless he has a reason why it's bad for the health and safety and welfare of the child.
Yeah, I wonder if he's the reason why they're holding up the divorce, too, right? So he moves out 3 years ago.
Yeah, but honestly, it makes absolutely no difference. It doesn't matter if he's holding it up, if she's holding it up. None of that matters, because the question, you know, the default position is she's entitled to introduce her children to new people. And if he doesn't like it, he needs to have a reason for the court why it's a danger to the child.
John, you on the same page with that?
Well, yeah, I think I'm going to say the husband is wrong here, because Sarah needs to get on with her life and find happiness. And if this is where she's going to find it, why delay it and derail it? And certainly, if they still have a hearing upcoming in family court or divorce court to resolve issues about time sharing or custody with the child, I would, as the judge, if the husband came in with some kind of emotion or an argument, and said, well, yeah, but she's introducing this guy to my five-year-old child, and it's too soon, I'd tell him to go pounce in. Unless there's some additional facts that really make it inappropriate for this human being to be around the five-year-old, yeah, I'd say the husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, is out of luck here.
You know, I just wonder, do you see this a lot where couples that are going through divorces come in for frivolous arguments like this? Do they take these things?
I mean, you're looking at Kanye.
Yeah. I wouldn't call Kanye frivolous.
I mean, her arguments would not be frivolous based on his behavior, but his delay tactics, I mean, this is a common thing. If somebody doesn't want a divorce, whether that's based on money, love, or control, people delay this all the time.
Absolutely. And I have to tell you, you do get some wacky stuff. I had one paternity case where they were trying to resolve timesharing issues. And there were two children, two boys that were like 4 and 6. The mother's complaint was that the father was unfit to parent them because he made them sit down when they urinated in his house. And she said, well, that's wrong. And I initially, when I heard the allegation, I was like, that's a little different. But when he testified, he was like, listen, these kids have really bad aim, and it's all over my bathroom unless they do this. And I walked out of the courtroom going, you know what? This guy makes a lot of sense here. Right.
Judgment in favor of the plaintiff.
Right.
Nice suit.
Yeah.
It's the 12 Tasks of Christmas on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a different task. We never know who it's for or what the task is going to be. And if you missed it earlier today, this is what the task was. All right. Oh, boy. Today's task is for producer Sean. Sean, get excited.
Okay.
What, what?
Okay, it says, popcorn garland is a time-honored tradition. Today, you have about 90 minutes to make popcorn garland with popcorn, a needle, and thread. Old school style. Producer Sean, you have been hard at work in your studio on this popcorn garland.
Boy, have I. And I only pricked my finger three times.
You pricked your finger three times with a needle?
Yes.
Aww.
Told you you needed a thimble. I can't believe you weren't carrying one today.
Some of those kernels were a lot harder to get through than I thought they would be.
Blood, sweat, and tears, man.
Uh-huh. And if you missed it, all of us put bets on how long the popcorn garland would be. I said 2.5 feet, and everybody scoffed at me because I thought it would be a lot more difficult than it, I guess, it actually was. Hmm. Producer John, what did you say?
I said 20 feet, and I... just going to call it right now. I think I won out of the three of us.
Well, Raven, we know you lost.
Well, I thought he was going to finish the entire bag. And I still believe that if one of producer Sean's duties was not to answer the phone throughout the show, if that was not his duty, I think that he would have finished the bag. I got to tell you, it would have been close.
Given time, that bag would have been gone. For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know, but it didn't happen.
I don't know if you know this, Sean. Actually, I'm going to put it up on our Instagram right now at Ann on Raven on our stories. But I was just secretly filming you while you were talking to people on the phone and doing it.
Oh, really?
And
that's probably why I pricked his finger right there.
It's like someone's grandma.
Yeah, Ann and Raven. Now!
All right, so we have the measuring tape. Let's go measure how long this is. Let's see. Let's
do it. John, can I have your help for a second?
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. Producer Sean.
That is the largest measuring tape we could find. Yeah. Like 100-footer there.
Here we go.
Wow, you did get really far, huh? That's impressive.
It's really great.
Call it out. How long is that thing?
11 feet, 9 inches.
11 feet, 9 inches. I mean, that is amazing, man.
That is
really
a lot of popcorn garland.
You should be very proud of yourself.
Price is Right rules says that I win.
All right.
You went over, man.
You went over, so you lost.
When's the last time you watched the show?
No, you can't go over, I thought.
No.
You can't go over?
No, you can't go over with your guess.
Right.
I didn't go over.
You said 20 feet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, I know you're good at music. Are you really that bad at math?
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Wow,
yeah.
Look at him. He's really figuring it out right now.
It wasn't the math. It was the rules, to be fair. I was wrong.
I will say, this is some beautiful popcorn garland.
Thank
and
you.
We have to decorate the studio with it. You did an incredible job today, producer Sean.
I appreciate it.
Do we want ants? Because that's how you get ants.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $800 thanks to Discover Card. We could talk about how complicated other banks make it to redeem credit card rewards, or we could talk about how with Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount at any time. I mean, talk about amazing. Learn more at discover.com/redeem rewards. Terms apply. Diane, you ready to play today?
Hi, yes, I am.
Okay, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Diane.
Thank you.
So
I will be honest. I do not have high hopes of winning, and I do not want to be a Debbie Downer.
Okay. Is that your disclosure? I'm going to stink, but I'm going to play anyway. That's the disclosure right there?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Come on. Let's not put ourselves down. Let's think positive. Think positive here.
All good.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in and ask the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Awesome.
Okay. Positive thinking, Diane. Come on. Time magazine named Blackpink Entertainer of the Year, and their Athlete of the Year is the New York Yankees player that just agreed to a 9-year, $360 million deal to stay with the clubhouse. Who is that?
Aaron Judge.
Number 2, Avatar, The Way of the Water premiered, and reviews are pouring in, calling it a never-ending visual spectacle. What is the name of the jungle moon where the Na'vi live? That's time, Diane. We'll go on to the next one.
Okay.
Number 3, the most mispronounced words of 2022 include Edinburgh, tennis star Novak Djokovic, and singer Adele. Edinburgh is the capital of what country?
Ireland.
Number 4, Google released their year-end data yesterday. Johnny Depp was the most searched person and the most searched actor. And what Disney movie featuring the Madrigal family was the most searched movie?
Encanto.
And number five, actors who were rejected by Saturday Night Live before making it big include Jim Carrey, Zach Galifianakis, Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, and the person that hosts The Late Show. Who is that?
Daily Carson.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in. You know, it wasn't as bad as you think, Diane.
Yo.
2 out of 5.
Not great.
I was slowly getting there, but I had my little anxiety.
That's all right,
Diane. $800. Here we go.
Number one, Time Magazine named Blackpink Entertainer of the Year, and their Athlete of the Year is a New York Yankees player that just agreed to a 9-year, $360 million deal to stay with the clubhouse. Who's that?
Aaron Judge. Thought yes. He would have got more.
That's a lot of money. All right, number two, Avatar, The Way of the Water premiered and reviews are pouring in, calling it a never-ending visual spectacle. What's the name of the jungle moon where the Na'vi live?
Pandora.
Yes. Number three, the most mispronounced words of 2022 include Edinburgh, tennis star Novak Djokovic, and singer Adele. Edinburgh is the capital of what country?
I know I'm going to be wrong here. Scotland?
Scotland's right.
Whoa-ho!
Look at you. Number four,
incredible.
Google released their year-end data yesterday. Johnny Depp was the most searched person and the most searched actor. And what Disney movie featuring the Madrigal family was the most searched movie?
The what family?
Madrigal.
Just take a guess and say Encanto.
Encanto's right.
Yeah.
And number five, actors who were rejected by Saturday Night Live before making it big include Jim Carrey, Zach Galifianakis, Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, and the person that hosts The Late Show. Who's that?
Stephen Colbert.
That's right. I'm sorry, Diane. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. My name is Diane, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $900 tomorrow, Anna.